Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Tuesday, May 29th, 2012. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and this evening we have with us none other than the Princess of Gospel, Angela Spivey. Now, amazing, she's amazing. We often see segments on TV shows and the news about child prodigies, and, you know, for a few minutes, their lives are spotlighted for their extraordinary talent and or ability. One notable prodigy would be Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And then someone that you probably really know is another one named Quincy Jones. Now, a prodigy is defined as someone who at an early age masters one or more skills far beyond the age of maturity. And another term they call it is a wunderkind. And science has all these different types of reasons for this type of phenomenon. I call it a blessing. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess you're wondering where I'm going with this. Our guest this evening is a Chicago native and an amazing individual. At the age of four, she joined the children's choir at her father's church, First Corinthians Missionary Baptist Church, and a year later became the choir director at the seasoned age of five. Okay. Yeah. A choir director is no small task. Now, I'm always intrigued by these types of stories because for some people, they're not usually equipped to handle a special call on their life, and sometimes they try to unsuccessfully hide it. I saw a movie a few weeks ago titled Pure Country 2, The Gift. It was about a country singer named Bobby Thomas, played by Katrina Elam, who was blessed with this beautiful voice by these three angels. But along with the voice came certain responsibilities, and she must follow a series of rules in order to hold on to her gift during her rise of fame and fortune. And all that kept coming to my mind is, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes, yes.
Now, this is not the case with our guests. I believe the only similarity is the beautiful music that they create. Please allow me the opportunity to bring to you the amazing Princess of Gospel, Angela Spivey.
Oh, God bless you, precious. What an introduction. That was so wonderful.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I just thought when I started reading your bio, this movie that I saw just popped into my head, and I was like,
wow.
Yes, it was a great movie, and I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. You just don't know how much this means to me. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And, I mean, how are you doing? I understand that you're going to go to choir rehearsal as soon as you're done with this interview.
Yes, ma'am. All is well. I'm just thanking God for another wonderful Tuesday. And he is just so good in spite of what's going on around us and with some of us, but God is still good. I'm just glad to be here, you know?
I understand. Now, I was saying to myself, now I know how I was when I was 5 years old. You must have been something else.
Well, if my brother was still here, he went on to be with the Lord. But if he was still here, he probably would say, yeah, she was something else. She was bad something else. Because, you know, I was the kid that had the mouth. I had so much to say as a kid. Ain't that pitiful, girl? And my mother and father stayed on me because of my mouth, you know. But my brother, who was the musician at the time and also over the children's choir, he needed a choir director, and he told me, he said, you go on and direct. And I said to him, just like it was yesterday, I don't know how to do that. And he swung his arms, and he said, do this. And I did, and I've been doing it ever since, girl. I've been doing it ever since. And my first song at 4 years old, he gave me, it was titled Forgive Me, Lord, and Try Me One More Time. And I asked him, why you give me that song? He said, because you bad and you need it. and not knowing then God was working then mm-hmm. with me. It's amazing. It's a
yes. Now, how did you manage to do that? I mean, that's a lot, especially for a little
yeah.
kid.
And I think what it was, you know, being a kid, I really didn't know what it all entailed. I really didn't know what I was really doing. I was just doing what I was told. But as I began to grow, get older, and sing, you know, with the choir or whatever, the youth choir or whatever, then I began to see more of the responsibility, because there was things that I wanted to do I couldn't do, you know, and there was many times I was wishing, oh, I just wish I was another alto, you know, mm-hmm. or I wanted to be like my sisters, you know, they were just choir members, because I started to see that the task was greater than what I thought it was when I was a kid, you mm-hmm. know, the older that I got, yeah, so... It's something, but it's by God's grace because, and I'm going to keep it real. I want to say your name right. Aurelia?
Yes, yes, that is
okay. There was many days and nights I've cried because I didn't want to do it. But God had put it in my spirit. God had put it in my heart. So therefore, I couldn't get away from it, you know. And by my dad being the pastor of the church and my mother, she was over the choir and everything, it was just what we did. This is what we did, you know. Mm-hmm. This was our life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So God, in his infinite ways, I mean, he just had all that thing together, girl, you know, because I'd cry. I didn't want to do this.
Now, how did you juggle being a kid and having this great responsibility?
Well, you know, when we were coming up, my mom and my dad and them, it was six children. They had six children, and they always had something for us to do. And a lot of the things that my dad and mom had for us was centered around the church. So we had picnics, we had games. That we would do all kind of sorts of things to keep the children motivated and everything. It's not like that too much now. But back then, I mean, we always had, I mean, even to the point of raising money for the church, we would go out and we would sell our candy and bring the money back to the church. And then after we got through doing that, they would take us bowling, all the children bowling, skating. You know, it was always exciting. So we wasn't missing out on nothing, you know, because we were having fun doing what we was doing, you know.
Okay. Now, when you became a teenager, that's usually when that pull starts to happen. And,
yeah.
I know a lot of times a lot of kids kind of steer away from the church because they get in that
yeah.
pull.
Yeah.
And I know you attended Lucy Flowers High School, right?
Yes, yes.
And did you feel that pull when you were in high school, or you were so centered and grounded and focused
well,
on what you were doing?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna say I was grounded. I was centered and grounded, even though my friends and the other girls, because you know Lucy Flowers at that time was all girls school. You know, we had me and my sister, because she was a musician. We formed a choir, a gospel choir in Lucy Flower High School. So we was really centered and grounded, even though one of the girls that we grew up together with, her mom used to take us to school every morning. You know, she ended up leaving the church and living that street life. You know, we lost her last year to drugs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just thank and praise God for my parents, because as long as you was in their house, you had to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only way you could stay home from church, you had to have the chicken pox or the measles or the mumps. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
You
yes.
know, so we were always involved, even as teenagers. And, you know, that's when you start looking at the boys and wanting boyfriends and all of that. And I just thank God. Oh, my God, when I think about it, you know, I just thank God how he kept me. And even with my sisters, he really kept us, even though my older sister She ended up, you know, being her, you know, she had gotten pregnant at 18, but she still graduated. She went through college and did the whole nine. But I watched her, and because of me watching her, and I knew I didn't want to go that route, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I was centered and grounded, you know, yeah.
Okay. So now after high school, did you begin the Voices of Victory at that time, or that was while you were in high school?
Oh, yes. This was while I was in high school. I was 14. I was 14 years old, and I started the choir, and I wanted a community choir because it was a period in our church where our church was making this transition, and so they put everybody in the same choir, the children, the youth, and the adults. They just had one big choir, and I'll never forget there was a lady, because they was talking uniforms, and somebody said, well, what about the children? And this one lady said, everybody in here is grown. And I just didn't feel comfortable with that, and it was a storm. It was storming real bad here in Chicago, and my dad had opened the front door, and he was just looking outside. It was pouring down rain, thundering and lightning. And I went to my father, and I said, Daddy, can I get me a choir? And he said, no. He said, no. And I said, oh, okay. I went back and sat down, and he just stood there, you know. So I went back again, and I asked him again, Daddy, can I get me a choir? And he just looked at me and said, yeah, okay. And I started, and I got nine of my friends with my sister, and we started right there on our block, you know, where my dad still lives. And I would get them, and we would sing. Me and my sister would sing to them, teach them songs. And that's how actually my choir started.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I guess when you knock, the door will be open, ask, and you shall receive, huh?
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And see, it was exciting because it gave the others, our friends, something to do. And see, then we took it to the school, and more of our girlfriends and the girls in the school, they wanted to be a part of this choir. And our outing would be at our church.
Oh,
so
okay.
We started having the musicals at the church, and then everybody joined the church. So I couldn't no longer call it the community choir. So we became the First Corinthian Youth Choir.
All right.
And that's been 38 years ago.
And now,
August 1st Sunday.
And now your choir is comprised of 65 members?
Well, not now. Okay. Not now. It's half of that now.
Okay.
You know, they come and go. I've had over 100 at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
And like each recording, I you know, they drop off. Some get married, some leave, you know, town, some go to another church. You know how they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But we still doing it, girl.
Yeah, but that's amazing, because that's a lot of personalities to manage.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is. See, you said it different. You said a lot of personalities. I call them spirits, girl. a lot of spirits.
Yeah.
But I like personalities. You're so right.
Yeah, that's a lot to manage. Now, you didn't want to go into recording music, did you?
No, I did not.
Why?
Because, I rehearsed. Back then it was every Thursday. And, oh, I would have a time. Oh, my God, because you can have 100 choir members and only 20 singers.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to do this, what they call one-on-one. I'd be training. I'd be, just trying to get them to hold the keys or to hear it or to remember the songs and different things. And when they brought up recording, I was like, oh, no, my choir ain't ready for that. No, I just didn't want to do it. And I was kind of pushed into doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was pushed into recording the choir. You know, you need to record this choir. And one man, I can't think of his name, and I'm looking right at him, but he said to me, he came up when Ricky Dillard and his group had won the McDonald's competition, and he said to me, you need to stop singing everybody else's stuff and sing your own stuff.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And my musician at the time heard him say that. And that's how that recording stuff started coming up. Well, we need to record. I was like, no, we don't. My choir not ready. But Here it is. I think we've done 5 CDs. Okay. We did 5, I think. Yeah.
And your first CD was Victorious Praise?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
in 1993?
Yes, yes, yes.
And then you went on to Glory, Honor, and Praise in 1999?
Well, no, 95, it was in the church, I believe.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, we did a project called In the Church,
mm-hmm.
and then Glory, Honor, and Praise.
Okay.
Yep, and, yes, right. That's it. And then after Glory, Honor, and Praise was
Determined.
Now, Determined, I did that with Minister Prince Yoder out of Birmingham, Alabama, and I used 10 of my choir members to sing with his choir for that recording.
Okay.
Yeah, because my choir was going through that in and out thing. You know, they was in and out, in and out. So it was time for me to record. So I reached out and got Minister Prince Yoder, and that was Determined. And then after Determined, I think maybe 6 or 7 years went by, we did Eyes on the Prize.
Oh, okay. Now, when you were doing all of this, not once did you think you were going to receive honors for what you're doing. And you were nominated in 2003 for the Soul Train Lady of Soul Award.
Yeah.
And I know that I know when you're doing what you're doing because you love what you're doing, you don't think about being acknowledged for the work that you're doing and the lives that you're inspiring. But I know that must have been so wonderful to know that people really appreciate and embrace you.
Oh, my. You know, being nominated for the Lady of Soul Awards was one of the highlights in my life because I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go, and can I keep it real with you?
Sure, you can.
Because I couldn't see mixing the two, R&B and gospel. I just wasn't there with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Elder Bishop Pops, who was just and still is, I'm sure, the CEO of Alejo International Records, said to me, he said, "Well, you've been nominated, and I know who's going to win. Dorinda Clark is going to win." He said, "You don't have to go if you don't want to." And I said, "Yeah, I don't have to go, Al. Thank you." And then he said out of nowhere, "But I want you to go."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll go." And it was like the devil did all he can to keep me from getting on that, being on that red carpet at 4 o'clock. But when I tell you that was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life, it was awesome.
I can imagine.
Awesome. And it was a learning for me because prior to that, maybe a year, going on 2 years prior to that, my friend, Reggie Miner, who did security for Dr. Bobby Jones,
mm-hmm.
is friend to Mike Tyson. And we were in Las Vegas for a artist retreat. And he wanted me to meet Mike Tyson. And that was right after he had that fight and bit that guy's ear off.
Mm-hmm. Holyfield.
Yes. Holyfield, that's right. And I said, "I don't want to meet him." He said, "No, I want you to meet Mike Tyson." I said, "I don't want to meet nobody who eat off people's ears, bite off people's ears, you know." And he said, "You need to meet him." I say, "Need to?" But it was something in the way he said it. So I went over there, and he introduced us and everything. And he was a nice guy. He was nice about it. And not knowing, he almost 2 years later, that my girl who was with me, she was acting as a publicist for me at the Lady of Soul Awards. She says to me, she said, "Oh, Angie, there's Mike Tyson. I want you to meet Mike Tyson." And I said, "No, I don't have to meet him. I met him already." She said, "Oh, no, Angie, I want you to meet him." And then walks me over there and said, "Oh, excuse me, Mr. Mike Tyson, this is Angela Spivey, she's been nominated for Lady of Soul Award." And he says, "Oh, I know her." And I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, we met. We had the same friend." And I said, "Yes, we did." And the Lord started dealing with me right there.
Really?
The Lord started dealing with me. And then they had me to go into the media room to read off the teleprompter. Because they asked me, would I be a presenter? Well, I didn't want to be a presenter. Because, you know, like I said, I wasn't feeling mixing the gospel and the R&B stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And my role manager had told them I would do it. So I went on and I read it, and the lady said to me, if Mr. Flex Alexander don't show, we need you to read his part too. So they had me run through that, and I'm not even knowing who Flex Alexander is until I come back out, and who, my publicist at the time, she introduces, oh, Angela Spivey, this is Flex Alexander. Now I remember him. He's on TV. He's the movie star. And he says, oh, I know her. I say, you do? He said, yeah, I know you. I said, oh, okay. And God put him, Mike Tyson, and me together. And we three was the presenters together. And that was during the time that Mike Tyson had just did that. They did that documentary on him, Glory Behind the Story or something like that.
Yes, yes.
And the people were screaming and hollering and screaming and hollering. But it was Flex Alexander, after we finished, said, Mike, can Angela and I have prayer with you? And he said, sure. He asked the lady that was taking us to the media room to take us to a secluded area. And she took us on the stairwell of that building. And that Flex Alexander started to pray. Before I knew it, I was laying hands on Mike Tyson. Girl, when I tell you, we prayed up in there, tears started rolling down my face.
Really?
And I said, God, forgive me. I had to repent because God was actually getting me ready, prepare me for that time, almost 2 years before it happened. But I'm so busy looking at the outer and what the media was saying about Mike Tyson until it convicted me so, Aurelia, until I had to call Mike Tyson and apologize. And I told him. And he told me, he said, everybody look at me like that because of the media. I said, but I should have known better because I'm a woman of God. And God convicted me. Yes, he did. I had to tell him. I had to, you know, ask him for his forgiveness for that. Yeah. He was really nice about it, of course.
Yeah, he is really a nice guy. It's just
yes, he's a
that,
star.
You know, he just looks scary, that's all.
Yeah. And it's so amazing because, of course, they didn't know me like they knew him and Flex.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was trying to get to him and Flex. And, I mean, they was nice to me, too, but they really wanted them. And Mike Tyson and Flex Alexander told them, say, if you can't interview Angela Spivey, you can't interview us. Because we're together. So, you know, I felt real special, right?
Yes, I'm sure.
I felt real special. But that was one of the greatest highlights of my life. When I went, and I will forever be grateful to L. Hobbs saying to me, I want you to go. Angie, you need to go. Yeah.
And it's good that you listened and not have been willful.
Yeah. Because sometimes we can be so heavily minded to win the earthly good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he knew how I felt about that. But see, I had to grow. I had to, because you know sometimes God allows things to happen to let you know you ain't there yet.
Yes, I understand that one. Yes.
Yeah. So I thank God. And I tell people, I said, Dorinda Clark Cole was the winner. But I won.
All right. You have victory.
Yes, Lord, girl. Yes, yes.
Now, you made some changes in your management and stuff now, and you have a new record label home under Pastor Dwayne Harvey.
Yes.
Yes. So how does that feel? I mean, I know he said that people that know you and they need to know you on a much wider scale. How do you feel about branching out and stepping outside of your normal comfort zone with him?
Well, I thank and praise God, and I know it's the favor of God, and I know that it was God that put me in his heart. Because while he was recording with his group, Unrestrained Praise, he will always ask me to come and do a song on his CD. And then even with his praise group, when he started recording them, he wanted me to do a song. And one day I was in Tallahassee, Florida at his church, Greater Blessing Tabernacle Church, and he prophesied, and he said, the Lord told me to record you. I looked at him and said, for real? He said, yes, and I'm going to obey him. And I just thank God, because even though I have a record company called The Core Records, it's in delayed mode because of finances, because it costs a lot of money to do it right,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that meant that my career also was on hold, and I really was needing a new record. But the Lord still was good to me. He was still opening doors for me. I was still going out and doing concerts and things, but I knew it was time for a new record. And thank God, through Pastor Harvey, God allowed that to be so. And I'm just so grateful, you know. I am so grateful, because he could have recorded anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know. But God, you know, gave him me, and I just thank God, man, obeyed him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm doing something a little different, I'm not in my norm
mm-hmm.
with this record, but it just shows I can do more than what people used to be doing, you know.
Yes. Now, your the single from that is He Keeps His Promise?
Yes.
Now, would you mind if I played it for our listeners?
Oh, no, please do.
Okay, just hold on.
Okay.
All right.
Praise God. Well, you know, it's a true song, and that was penned by Pastor Harvey himself.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And that is amazing. And it's true too. The song is true.
Yes, it is. He keeps his promise.
Yes. Now,
hallelujah.
Everyone, I mean, you would think that all you do and all your involvements have been, you know, with the choir in the church. But you also ventured into other businesses. You were in the beauty business as well as real estate.
Yes, I owned a salon, oh God, for years. I owned a salon, and the Lord blessed me with that. And then I went from owning a salon. I had got into real estate and became a broker. And I had my own broker office, and the Lord was really good to me in that. And then I just, I don't know where I decided, Lord, I want to minister 100%. I just want to minister. I just want to tell people about you. And I've been doing it ever since, you know.
Oh, that then, you know, I believe that everything that we encounter and everything we do is a training.
Yes.
For what we're going to do. And all those different businesses that you were involved in gave you interaction with all kinds of people.
Yes, yes, yes. Because, you know, even in doing hair, you find yourself ministering. You know, they used to call us, we were like psychiatrists.
Oh, yeah.
you know, because people will pour out while they're sitting in your chair. They will pour out. And even in real estate, there was times when people come to my office, they may have been losing their home or trying to buy a home or something. They'll just start pouring out, just pouring out. And like you said, I believe that that was preparing me for where the Lord is taking me even now. You know, so I'm in total agreement with that.
Yes. And it's really interesting. There was something that you said earlier about you didn't want to mix the gospel with the R&B. And it was a story that my mom had told me a long time ago when I was little. And I was like, well, how come people can sing that and then they in church singing that? And she looks at me and she goes, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I just want to know. She goes, God created the music. And he created music for everyone to hear. And there is a message in the music. You just got to listen closely.
Yeah. Yeah, and like for me, it was like God was teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to go through that because see, a lot of times you know we could take scripture and we can just justify it to fit us,
but
we are in our little boxes. But God is bigger than that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people just like I share with you. God was preparing me almost 2 years before it actually happened to have prayer with Flex for Mike Tyson. But that taught Angie Spivey, you cannot look at people on the outside and judge. See, because, you know, we're quick to judge people, you know. And I just thank God for that experience because it taught me. And I'm gonna tell you, and I'm keeping it real. You know, I'm keeping it real with you.
Yes.
Being there at that award show with them, honest to God, when I tell you those people were good to me, those secular artists, when I tell you when they won, they embraced me like they knew me. And sometimes even our own Christian artists, they'll look down on you or they'll turn your nose. Because, see, I didn't have that happen to me on the Christian side, you know, on the church side. And when you go there and ain't nobody trying to outdo nobody because all of them famous. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ain't no big eyes and little U's. And I talk about, I tell that story all the time because So many times we get so high and lifted up, but God will show you, you ain't there, you know. And I just thank God, girl, for that experience. I'm like your mama told you, God, you know, he makes me, you got to listen, because it is a message. Some messages that you listen and hear in some music, it's not edifying, you know, but there are some messages in that music, you know. I don't per se just listen to it. But there's some that I have listened to, and it make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know. And some of it, listen, some of it we have preached it. to preach my pulpit.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's amazing.
It is. And, you know, it's an amazing world that we live in now because we have access to so much stuff now. And now is a great time for you to branch out because now you can reach more souls and save more souls with your ministry. And that's the beautiful part about it.
Yes, really. And I tell you, God is so awesome because even with I do not like videos. I do not like being on TV. I never like where people can just look at me and stuff. But I know this is where I am and this is how it's going to be. That's why I try to come out right, decently, and in order at all times because you don't know who's taping to put you on YouTube. But when I tell you, and I kid you not, I didn't even know I was on YouTube like people say I'm on YouTube. You know, they say, oh, I saw you on YouTube. Because you don't know who's taping you when you are ministering. I mean, they got all kind of stuff for me on YouTube.
I know. I saw a lot of them.
But it's a blessing, too, because it's helping get out the word. See, YouTube is where I'm not. You know, like you seen me on YouTube, but we've never met, I don't think, ever, Aurelia.
No, we haven't. But,
right, but you see me already. Now I haven't seen you, I don't think.
I'll send you a picture.
Okay. But I said that to say, even though I can't be everywhere, but God has fixed it where people can see me everywhere.
Yes.
And that's awesome. Like you were saying, you know, I mean, we can use what's the stuff now. Girl, it's amazing. And get this, it's free.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
And it is. And, you know, a lot of people, they try to, like, talk about the discouraging parts of all of this technology and mm-hmm. how it's, you know, it's really killing the minds of our youth and so on and so forth. It's all in what you're delivering. If
That's
you're delivering
it.
Something crazy, yeah, the outcome is going to be crazy. But if you're delivering something of value, something to uplift people, to edify them, that's what they're going to get.
Yes. And I believe if we as saints of God would take this tool and keep pushing and pumping Jesus' return and the love of God, then somebody is going to get it. Because even on my Facebook page, I've had people come with some awful things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would try to delete it, and but there was this one guy. He was just cussing up a storm, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, "Talk to him," you know, via Facebook. And I did, and I did it in his message because I didn't want it to be in the status because I didn't want everybody to read what I wanted. This young man, and this young man answered me back and said, "Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you." Sometimes some people, all they need is a little guidance, you know, because what I tell the people here at our church is, and especially the young people, don't put all your dirty laundry out for the world to see it. And then you get angry when they talk about it. See, they only know it because you put it out there.
That's correct. Yeah.
You see?
Yes.
See, because Facebook, Twitter, and all of that, those are good things that we can use to even help uplift the kingdom. But if you go on there, like you said, with negativity, that's what you're going to get in return. But don't get upset when it get out and the people talking about you. Well, that's what you did. You did that, you know. But it's a great tool. I tell anybody, it's a great tool.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. And
yes.
Now, you also wrote a song as well called My Outcome is Victory.
Yes, yes.
And how did that come about?
You know, Aurelia, one day I was just going through so much, and I was on my way. I used to go and pay before I mailed them off or before they came up, which you pay your bills over the Internet. I would go and pay my bills. And And I was just really hurting on the inside. You know, it looked like I was just stressed out, pressured, or whatever, you know. And I stopped at a red light, and I was sitting there, and I just heard like somebody was in the car with me. And I knew I was in the car by myself, but I knew it was God. Said, your outcome is victory. And so the light turned. I went on to JCPenney's, paid my bill, came back out. I heard it again. Your outcome is victory. And I just started singing it. I just started saying, my outcome of all my hard times. And I called my sister. I said, well, no, I think I got a song. And I sang it to her. When I got through singing it to her, I called my mom and dad. I said, y'all, I think I got a song. And I sang it to my mom, then I sang it to my dad. And here it is, that's been years ago. And one day my dad asked me to sing it in the church, and I sang it in the church.
Okay, well, I want our listeners to hear that song. So if you don't mind, I want to play My Outcome is Victory.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Depending on Jesus.
Well, well, my dear. Amazing.
Girl, I'm about to go in over here.
Woo! You're not an old man. Amazing. Oh, wow. Some have compared you to Shirley Caesar. Amazing. All I can say is amazing.
Oh, bless you, Aurelia. God bless you. My. You know, Aurelia, it's amazing because God will allow what you do to minister to you. And even now, you know, I'm kind of going through some things. And I know it's good in it because, you know, it's with my dad. And my dad is still the pastor of the church. And the doctor says all the time, so I have to make sure that all his stuff is together. I'm still trying to cover him at the church. I was looking at my dad today when I got there this morning, and he said he was fully dressed in a suit. And I say, Daddy, why are you so dressed up today? You know, because it's choir rehearsal. And he says, I'm ready for church. And I say, yeah, but it's choir rehearsal. He said, no, it's church. And my heart started to shift into sadness, but I had to come back because I know even in this that God is moving. And just to hear that, the outcome for my dad is victory. And I know that. You know, and I just, you know, it's just something how you would play that particular song, you know. And I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you know, you're more than welcome because I do understand because a couple of years ago I lost my mom to cancer, so I understand.
Oh,
I do understand.
God bless you, precious.
Thank you. Yeah. I understand. And believe me, you will be fine and so will he. And this is just, it's something, it's the, as I tried to process it in my head when I was going through it with my mom and everything, and she sat me down and she explained to me. She goes, I'm not going anywhere. She said, I'm not going anywhere.
She said,
but the body is tired and it can't do but so much, and you need to understand that.
Wow.
But
wow.
I'm not going anywhere. And I said, yes, ma'am.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's when you know they know God. You know,
yes.
When they talk like that, they know God. They sure enough know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and many times she was just say, and I think it was the night before she passed and everything, and she said, this is too hard. And
wow.
I told her, I said, but we still need you. She goes, oh, I know y'all a mess. I was like, oh, thanks. She said, but I have to explain to you that this is too hard and my body is not strong enough. My mind is strong, but my body is not.
God. Oh, wow. Wow.
And I had to come to terms and accept it. And I knew that was God talking to me to prepare me.
Yes, yes. Oh, bless God. Isn't he amazing? He's just amazing.
Yes.
Oh,
and if you don't know him, there is something missing because he is the pieces, the gaps in between that are in the puzzle that you think don't fit right. He is that. He's the gap in between.
Yes, he is. You know, I was reading something and it said something like this. I'm not hitting it word verbatim, but it said something like this. God gives us a void that he and only he could fill.
Yes.
Only he could fill. It's amazing.
It is.
Yes.
And so, yes, this song is appropriate for a lot of situations, and that's why I kept saying amazing because it just let me know. It just let me know. Everything's going to be all right no matter what it is.
No matter what it is.
Yes.
Because it's victory for the saints. All day long is victory.
Yes.
Woo, girl. Woo,
so
okay, got to come back this way.
You done ministered to me tonight.
Oh, bless you, Aurelia, girl. You done blessed me, too, okay? So we both ministering, right? Because I'm saying this has been a wonder. God bless you.
Thank you. Now, if people want to see more of you and know more about you, how can they find out more about you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. Just look me up, Angela Spivey. I'm on YouTube, Angela Spivey. I even have the He Keeps His Promise video on Facebook as well. YouTube is all over the place. And it's a concept that Pastor Harvey put together that is phenomenal. They just put in Angela Spivey, He Keeps His Promise. That will come up. Also, my email address is Angela_Spivey@yahoo.com. I'm still working on my website, so that's not up yet, but they can get me that way. And also, my new record, He Keeps His Promise, that hit the street May 1st, is in Walmart and Best Buy's. So they can go pick the CD up. We got 10 songs that will minister. I tell you, they will minister to you. And like I said, it's not me. I got a couple of my songs that people are used to me coming at, you know, hitting hard with, but I got something a little different. I think we got something for everybody, Aurelia. So I'm just asking those who are listening, if you don't have it already, to go and get it, and maybe you want to get somebody else a gift of music to hear, you know.
Yes, because I know some people that would really enjoy it, truly enjoy it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, and I said, I know there's at least one song for everybody to like, you know, because we got a variety of songs.
Yes, I did listen to a lot of the cuts on the CD, and they were really, really good. And
thank you.
You're welcome. I just love music, and some music just kind of fills me up, and that was what I was able to find. And like I said, My Outcome is Victory is one that I really, really love.
Wow. Oh, my God. Thank you, Aurelia. Oh, that's so precious. I know this is God because I needed to hear that today. Ain't that something? Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. It's a pleasure. You know, I am just, as you know, the woman that you spoke to, Valencia, is my sister, so we work together.
Okay.
Yeah, and she knew how excited I was about this.
Oh, that is so precious. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And she was so wonderful. She's such a sweetheart.
Oh, I'll be sure to let her know that.
Yes, she's such a sweetheart. Where are you all stationed at?
Oh, well, she's in New York, so she does her shows out of New York, and I'm in Delaware, and I do mine out of Delaware, and we together every now and again, and we do some shows together.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Oh, God bless you, and I pray that God would just bless you and your sister over and beyond your wildest dreams.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. We would love that. And it's a joy and a pleasure because she has a different take on things than I do. And it all works out because it's all good. And we try to show people in the most positive way possible.
Yes.
And how wonderful and amazing people are. And it's not just the well-known celebrities. Yes. It's also the average people, too. They have amazing Amen. Lives as well. And we Amen. Just try to show it all as best we can.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And I just thank God you ladies included me. And I just feel like I'm a part of you girls now. So.
Oh, yes. You're honorary.
Thank you all so much. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you don't have a, you know, big name or whatever, people tend to just kind of look over on you. But I thank God for you all who just see God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just praise God because God has no prospective person. He loves us all, you know?
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
Well, I'm running out of time. However, I could just sit here and talk to you all night. I have had such an amazing time with you. This has been so wonderful.
And the same here.
And I thank you. I want to thank Double Exposure for allowing this opportunity to happen.
Yes, yes. And I will be sure to call and let them know how wonderful it was. This was a grand interview. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And please, please come back anytime you want. You are more than welcome to come back.
Yes.
We would love to have you.
Thank you so much, Precious. I appreciate you here.
Yes, thank you. I am just overwhelmed with all that I have learned from you and about you and the way you have ministered to me. I appreciate that, and I thank God for you.
Bless. Oh, and the same here. No, the same here. Okay.
Yes, yes. Okay, all my listeners, that's right. You heard it. I am filled with praise tonight, okay? Okay. And I want to thank our wonderful guests. I want to thank my listeners for their continued support. Please just, you know, keep checking Facebook, and we'll send out the emails to let you know who our artists and our guests are going to be going forward. We are going to have a special show in New York coming up soon, so we're going to keep you posted with all those details as they come about. I would like to tell everyone to have a wonderful evening and be safe.
Amen. That's
okay. Goodbye, everyone.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.